live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect. A time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
Everybody, it's Susan and Angela Horns with me again today. We're going to have a really interesting show. We're going to be continuing a little bit of our discussion about what our soul purpose in life is. I think it's the time of year at the beginning of the year that we all kind of try to reach deep and try to figure out why we're here. And while we do it on a yearly basis or on a regular basis, I know that the beginning of the year is sometimes very important time for us to really get a handle on where we are. In any event, we're going to be taking your calls. The number is 888-815-9756. If you're really having some issues trying to find out what you think your purpose is, we might be able to give you a little bit of a handle and lead on maybe how to go about doing it. So, Angela, welcome again.
Thanks, Susan. So excited to be back. It's been a couple weeks, and definitely some changes are in the air. So really excited to be back today. Thanks for having me.
You are quite welcome. We were talking a little bit earlier about some of the things that we have, the tools that we have to help maybe guide us into what, you know, our purpose in life would be. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, names. And you know, I mentioned that next week Deborah Silverman's going to be on the show, who's quite a wonderful astrologer. And she's been on the show once before. And we have a lot of fun. So, you know, Althea was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the importance of knowing what our purpose in life is all about. And one of the things that I really was intrigued about what she said, that probably I knew, but, you know, I kind of walked around for a bunch of days saying, drop the stories, remember the lessons, and move on down the road.
Yes, very important. Definitely, definitely very important. I'm finding a lot of clients the last few days, well, actually the last few weeks, are really showing up with these long, detailed stories that they seem to be attached to, you know, how I got here, what it did to me, how I'm feeling. And it just keeps digging this bigger and bigger hole, and it seems longer to get out of it. And it's very detrimental to every aspect of the being. The mind confuses, it becomes delusional in its own space and time, and it gets caught up in all this stuff. And it's very difficult to get out until you actually realize that you're in there. And that's the simplest way. Once you take the first step, then you can start making your way out. And there's nowhere else but up.
You know, it's really interesting. And I'm going to reduce my volume just a little bit so Angela can increase hers a little bit. What's very interesting is, you know, as a genealogist, you know, one of the things that I always ask our clients is that we need to know the stories, because it's the stories that help us find the facts. And, you know, at the end of the day, once we have the facts, I guess it's very important that, you know, they drop the stories.
It's a big circle. It just keeps going. Yep, that's it. Drop the stories.
Yeah, I guess it's, what is it, the lesson's stupid?
Okay, does anybody want to call in on that one?
Well, I mean, you know, when you think about it, I mean, no matter what you do, whether you're looking at your own life and going back and remembering the stories, which, you know, we did through the hour with Althea,
right,
is, you know, we looked at the different phases of our lives and we wrap ourselves around these stories. And what we have to learn how to do is, you know, dig in, grab the lessons, drop the stories, and move on. And I guess with genealogy, it's the same thing. You know, we keep the stories, we find the facts, learn the lessons from our ancestors, and move on.
Right. And that's the biggest thing. If we can really learn the lesson in all of that, you know, it's like, I don't know why I get this image of the, you know, the notch on the bedpost. It's like the chalkboard mark that says, okay, good, done, next.
Right. You know, it's like a check mark. Yeah, like, on a piece of paper. It's like, you know, it's like a task list. Is, you know, you go through your life and you really, you know, write the story, and you write the story, you write the lesson, you check off the story, you forget it, and you move on.
Right. Now, I guess if some people are really caught up in their story, there's got to be a reason. So just catching up on that, you know, we all find a certain place in our life where other people will, you know, help you hold on to your limitations. As long as you're willing to do it, other people will abide by that and help you do that as well. But it is for every individual to recognize where they are, whether they are the victim, whether they're the antagonizer who, you know, just wants to go out and continue doing this. They'll find that either they exit from their friends or their friends will exit from them.
Well, and it's always, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, that you really don't know when there is a separation that you might be going through with the, you know, friendships and things like that, whether you're the antagonist or whether you are moving on. It's an interesting concept, and I've wondered about that myself recently.
Yes, and I guess, you know, when you're really into really moving somewhere and you have direction in your life and you feel good about it and you're checking in with yourself and that you're not, you know, running those, what I call those programs or viruses from other people, because those can also be the ones that are holding you back and whom it is that you thought you were or who you still think you are or where you came from or why some of that matters and why it doesn't actually matter for where you're going. It's what was and what is no longer, and let go of those limitations and stop fighting for them.
You know, we have a very interesting time period, and I think everybody is talking about the speed in which we're moving. And I tell you, if the speed moves any faster than this light, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to sustain it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, you know, craziness all the time. And, you know, I know that, you know, moving into 2012 is that, you know, we are going to be moving at a faster pace. And it is more important for everybody to really be attached to what their life purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct or incorrect?
No, I'm saying, yeah, attached to their life purpose. At least have some idea or goals, not to be so much, I guess the words that I struggle with there is the attach to who they are. When you talked about light moving so quickly, like the time, it's almost like, you know, we think of something, we manifest it quickly, it shows up, and then our life whole changes just in a day or an instant, and something else shows up. And it's like, wow, I thought I was doing that, but oh my gosh, look what just showed up over here. Do you find that's happening? Is that what you mean by change?
Yeah. I mean, it's too
fast.
It's
just showing up. It is. And, you know, that's has a lot to do with setting goals and boundaries and direction and really getting to the pattern and the purpose of where you want to be, because otherwise things will just show up. And, you know, they could be meaningful. They may not be so meaningful. Being open to what that opportunity, and if it fits into the path that you're already on. Sometimes they're just a distraction to take you away a little bit, because we all have distractions in our lives. So it's about really setting priority, really getting into the heart sense, you know, let the mind make some direction, but really allowing the heart and soul to come through and find the passion. Because if it's dragging you down and you're tired, it's more than likely really not your first priority. Get rid of the ones you love the most in priorities, and then go deal with the tasks that are not so much your favorable, but you absolutely know that they have to get done. That way you'll get through your stuff a whole lot quicker.
Yeah, because we tend to avoid the things that we don't want to do.
Right, and if you get those done...
like taxes.
Humans are funny. We like to negotiate with every aspect of our own being, never mind everybody else's.
You know, it really is interesting. And, you know, a lot of people, and I know that I went through, a year or so phase in my life where I was kind of, undirected or misdirected, not undirected, yeah, undirected. I mean, I didn't know where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And I had completed a phase of my life that I had had great success and really felt that actually I had felt in one respect that I had achieved my life purpose. So now where do I go next? Mm. So... You know, it was a kind of a very interesting wedge to be involved in.
Well, you know, that's the death of the old you. And we, you know, so many people are, I guess, you know, zoned in on their life purpose as if it's only one specific thing. You're one specific. Some people may only be here. Their life purpose is to experience love and compassion, to experience what it is to receive, period. What it is to, you know, to be out there for other people and give. What it is to live a life of whatever it may be. They're, in most cases, they're very simple tasks. But we may have more than one. And once you achieve one and you've accelerated and you have evolved, you basically can go through a complete phantom death, which means your body still gets to be here, but the old you dies, and you become someone a little bit more altered, a little bit more mature, experienced mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and beyond. And you get to evolve to the next step. So for those of us that have all shown up to do something here on the earth and really create the love and light that it needs right now, we've all come in from different aspects, and we came in quickly, and we knew that where we needed to be, and hence the reason I feel, personally, my story was that I needed to be here at a specific time and showed up and kind of maybe got in before someone else for the reason as to why I was born to a young mother, where I was given up to adoption, where another family was already waiting for me. So that transition took place because it needed to, and we are all meant to be where we are at that time and being raised by the parents in whom we were to experience and expand with. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense to me.
So learning our life lessons through whom it is that we're actually born to and expanding through that and learning. And, you know, whether it was we had to go through abandonment issues, any kind of verbal, emotional, or mental abuse, or physical abuse, or, you know, being in an accident or being hurt or any part, you know, we set these things up in our life and we can play them out if we choose, or we can alter. And when we go through the phantom death, it's because we've achieved. We've gotten the life lesson for that particular time frame. We've accelerated through that experience, and we have acknowledged who we are. Therefore, we can grow bigger as a bigger spiritual being in a human body.
So, you know, going back to, I guess we're talking 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Probably mm-hmm. 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. When did we do that seminar? It's about this time, 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
Oh, 2009. Yeah, February, I think it was, wasn't it? Two years.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in this phase, like probably a lot of you all are, where I had no idea where I was going. Well, I did have an idea. I just didn't know how valid and you know, I just really didn't know, and it really took about 3 to 6 months of really constant working to actually allow myself to be guided mm-hmm. into the direction that I wanted to head. And then what was really interesting is once that direction and that course was set, it mm-hmm. took another 6 months before it all started to come into play. And what's really interesting is what came into play, you know, a year and a half ago is now also changing dramatically. Right. So, you know, even though you get where you think you're going, there are very interesting things that come to us that, you know, can alter our course a little bit. And we have to really, you know, go with the flow, so to speak. And it's, you know, it's a lot easier to do when you allow your spirit to guide you, I think. And I think that's really the most important thing. And you know, how do we really get to that point, Angela? You're the coach. I'm just a being that is going through all these.
Yeah, but you coach too, Susan. Don't overstep that one. I was getting the image of, you know, if we all got in the same boat and we all knew somewhere down the road that there was going to be a huge waterfall and we all had to go over it, would we get in the boat?
No.
Right. So.
Absolutely not.
Even though we knew at the end of the falls, when we went over it, we would land safely in a nice stream. The point is that we all struggle getting to our next step when we all need to know that we are protected, we are taken care of, and just to follow through. And a lot of us go out fighting. You know, could it have taken you less time? Maybe. Going through the strides in which you did, you know, we're all in the same boat. We could, you know, the could, shoulds, and woulds. But the point is, you know, knowing that you're going to go over the falls, would you get into that boat? Probably not.
No, I wouldn't. And if you take, you know, our life and you look at it from that perspective,
right?
You know, you just got to get in the boat and you just got to go. And when you, I mean, it's like being a sailor. You know, I don't know if I told you, I'm a sailor.
No, well, yeah, you sold your boat. That's right.
I sold my boat, and I was a sailor, and I did a lot of sailing overseas, and I was skippering a boat in Italy. This is about 3 or 4 years ago.
Did you ever have a fear of getting in your boat? Did you ever?
Well, let me tell you, I didn't.
Adventure.
Well, not only did I not have a fear, I mean, we were traveling from the coast of Tuscany over to Corsica, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful mm-hmm. weather, gorgeous sunshine, and we got out of the lee of the island, and it was like all heck broke loose. I mean, we ended up with 45 knot winds. We had, you know, 8 to 10 foot waves, and I mean, it was like the most unbelievable scene in this little 42-foot boat. And I mean, there are pictures of our boat where all you could see was the top of the mast as we went down into these swells.
Wow!
And I was skippering this boat. I don't think I've ever been so scared in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was totally unexpected. And I'll never forget that. You know, we came out from one of these swells, and the next thing I knew is I heard these five horns, you know, which is the sign from a bigger boat saying, "You're in our way, get out of our way.
Right.
And it was one of these big ferry boats that we couldn't see because we were way down. And as we come up, you know, I look up and there's this ferry boat. And trying to maneuver a boat in, you know, 45 knot winds and 8 to 10 foot seas and trying to get out of the way of a big boat.
What a ride.
My sailing days kind of started getting numbered by then. I am a fair weather sailor now. So there you go. So you never know what, you know, and here you were in beautiful, and you thought it was clear sailing, and
right,
not to be.
It's a great metaphor.
It really is, and it's you know, I mean, had we any clue, we would have stayed in port where we were and not ventured out the next day, you know, until the next day. But in any event, it is a metaphor. So, you know, what things look like and where it may look to be like everything's calm, you can have big surprises. And you just got to deal with them, whether it's a big ferry boat.
You do, but you got to keep going down the stream and just know that everything's going to work out.
Yep. Anyway, we're taking your calls. Angela is also available to do some readings. In any event, you can reach her at her website at www.angelahornstudios.com. My website is www.susanneking.com. And we're here to be of service to you guys. So phone number is 888-815-9756. If you're struggling with a life purpose or you're struggling with some situations that may be diverting you from what you thought to be your life purpose, this is the time to call in. We're here, and this is something that we're pretty familiar with, aren't we, Val?
Mm-hmm. Pretty familiar indeed. It's amazing how we all come together and how you and I have come together. And it's just been a lot of fun being able to tell our stories, to have people call in and share. You know, we're just one big, it feels like one big happy family. It's all good.
Well, I know better than that when I'm dealing with everybody else's family.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, what a metaphor. It's kind of funny to speak of family doing what you do, because you deal with so many. My goodness.
It is. And you know, one of the things that I have to do is at night I have to really clear myself, because I have so much going on and so much energy that interferes with my own energy, if you can imagine. I mean, every time, you know, I work with an individual or a family and I'm doing research, it's very interesting, but these people kind of attach to me in some way, shape, or form. Very similar to what happens to a medium when they work.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you have to really, really, you know, clear yourself, because it's those that want to be found are just sitting out there chirping, find me, find me, find me.
Right. It can be heavy energy. I sometimes find myself getting off the phone where I have to clear myself. I find myself hacking, because the energies are so strong that they want to become part of me. And it's like, no, 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 no. Off you go. You don't belong here. I am not your instrument here. So, yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, that goes for a lot of people. As long as we're on the topic, you know, clearing yourself when you get home from a hard day of work, if you're in sales, or if you're out there in the media, or if you're doing any kind of work where you're involved in customer service and you're dealing with a lot of people, it's important to clear yourself too, so that you're not bringing that energy home to your family, because I'm sure there's people that are the light bulbs going on and going, oh, is that why my kids are so hyper, or they react to me, or why my husband gets so cranky at me, or why I get so cranky towards him, or vice versa. You can actually watch the change in people when they've been out into the public area or whatever their job pertains to, and they come home. There's a difference. So, you know, being aware of that is very, very important, just to kind of, you know, just cleanse off the energy. Just cut it off and, you know, cleanse yourself out and clear your mind, and then walk in like you're fresh.
And, you know, I've noticed, and I have a lot of friends that are kind of saying the same thing, and I find it very interesting. I mean, once upon a time, I was a big party person, obviously.
Really?
As a musician. Oh, yeah, as a musician.
Oh, that's right.
You know, always out in the public, and I'm not playing as much as I used to. And I don't exactly know why, but that's the way it is, and I'm accepting it as it is. But, you know, one of the things that I am finding is that when I go to a party, I'm not as interested in staying till the very end like I used to.
Yeah.
I find myself wanting to leave. I find myself having really an energy overload,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I'm out and about in those situations. Very different than what it used to feel like. And I've noticed this, obviously, in the last couple of years. It seems to be getting worse and worse and worse and worse for me when I'm out mm-hmm. in the public.
Hmm.
So I don't know about what all that is. I'm hoping that will change. I keep forcing myself to get back out, but.
But
I have a lot of friends that are you know, feeling the same thing. They're not getting out as much as they used to. And it could be our age. It could be our age.
Could be. It could also be with so many what I call downloads happening on individual basis where people really, you know, as much as you can seek, I find like there's a lull right now, and it has been in the last couple weeks. And it started to, with the new phase of the new moon last week, there started to be new energies that are focusing in. And if people are feeling like, wow, I didn't expect that, or wow, this just happened, and oh, wow, look at that, that just showed up. You know, everything, be careful what you're thinking, because it will show up. It may not be in the way, as Susan and I have always said, don't be attached to your outcome. And be very careful how you ask for things. But I'm finding, starting from that new moon over the next 3 weeks, there is a bit of a lull where everything's kind of trying to land. And you need to be a little bit more open and receptive to what's actually showing up, because you never know where it's going to lead you to the next step. So, you know, we're already into the second week. There's still one more week after this. And falling into around, I guess, towards the 17th and 18th is kind of a date where going into the next weekend, it's almost another whole new phase that's going to show up. So just be mindful of that.
That's interesting. I mean, because things have just really been on a roll, I guess, since the beginning of the year. It's been... and not all good. I mean, you know, it's good.
Well,
it's,
yeah.
Surprises. It's change. It's all kinds of things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's important is, and I think it's very important that the thing that you mentioned earlier about, you know, when you have these stories and they keep changing, and sometimes you feel like you're being victimized when in fact there's a reason that they're changing. And if you go with the flow and drop the story about being a victim, mm-hmm. and letting things just take a more natural course, it can be very exciting.
Oh, it can be. Things will show up out of nowhere. But again, when you're not attached to the outcome and you're not holding on to the limitations of who you were. Because we're evolving human beings, and we evolve every, you know, second of minute of the day and day by day. And time is speeding up, and we are not who we were. So people really have to start thinking about that and seeing how they can alter their lives. Simplifying your life, whether through expenses, living arrangements. I'm just finding we're all so full. It's almost like we have no more room for anything until you start to have to take a closer look at your life. And when you can start to eliminate the things that are no longer pressing for you, you will start to make room for more. But you need to get rid of what no longer works in order to do that.
And, you know, and that's not just in your soul either. It's in your physical being.
Oh, every
hour. And I'm going to, you know, I swear, and I'm going to do this in the next few days. I mean, I pretty much moved a good portion of my house out to my garage last year because I was thinking about selling the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what it did for me is I realized that I had more stuff in this house than I ever wanted. And I started to realize that I can live on a whole lot less and maybe want to live on a whole lot less.
And you feel happier for it, don't you?
I do, but I've got stuff in this garage that I have just, you know, I was going to have a garage sale, and I said, that's not going to happen. So my next goal here is to very slowly pack up the car and just offload it and take it over to one of the agencies in the area and just start offloading it because I haven't used it in a year. I mean, I don't even know what's out there.
If you haven't used it in a year, you're definitely not likely to use it again unless it's something you can pull out and start using right away. But the whole point is there's so many people out there that could use it, and you know, you're benefiting by letting it go, and lots of other people are about to benefit because you did let it go.
Well, I know you're up in Canada, right?
Yeah.
I know it's really cold there. But down here in the third coast of Texas, there, Galveston, it's been really cold for us. I mean, I don't know if you saw the news, but people were slipping and sliding all over the place last week. We don't know how to drive, and we don't have any of the things to get rid of ice and snow around here. So we just shut down. Total shutdown. As soon as the weather gets a little bit more habitable for me. I know it's cold up there for you, but this is cold for me. I mean, this time of year we're normally in shorts and t-shirts.
Well, it's funny because last week we had a huge storm warning. It came probably about a week ago today, and a lot of employers were saying, listen, don't bother coming in. The roads were going to be nasty. It had already started to snow. Most people weren't going to go in on the Wednesday, and everybody was making arrangements just to stay home. And it was kind of interesting because it was safety first, family first. It was all those things that mattered, and nothing else mattered. It was really quite interesting. People started stocking up, so there was a little bit of a boost to the economy because people were putting money out there and had to go shopping for extras. But there was also that, that lack, and what if I can't get to where I'm going, and what if I don't have enough? So it's a twofold. So, you know, when we get warnings from certain things, we need to be mindful of what it is we're really needing and wanting. And when I say need, I always hesitate with that word, because when you do say need, it is already estimating that you already are in lack of something, and the universe doesn't recognize that.
Well, and Susie Orman has her own views about need and want. And I think everybody's conserving money. I think it's important. I think that we've all lived a little outside our means over the last generation or so.
Oh, certainly have.
And, I think that everybody at, you know, I, it's an austerity kick, and I think it's a wonderful kick, and I think that we all need to be finding other things that we can do with our time, that we are mindful and enjoyable, that, you know, we don't need to go spend money. I mean, when you look at the stuff that we can unload out of our houses that we bought, it's pathetic. I mean, it really is. And, you know, I mean, a lot of this, granted, is you know, 30 years of accumulation, of course. And not only my accumulation, but my parents' accumulation that I inherited, and, oh, I had to have this, and I had to have that, and I had to have this. And, you know, even though we got rid of a lot, you know, between three siblings, we ended up with more stuff than we really need. I mean, who needs 5 sets of dishes for these things?
Oh, my goodness. Really? Who does?
I've got to get rid of it. I mean, I just got to get rid of it. I mean, I got my grandmother's, I got my other grandmother's, I got my mother's, and I got mine.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Right. So you don't need them.
No. And, you know, we've done this, and, you know, we hold on to these heirlooms, and, you know, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
It is crazy. So you're giving them up, right? Is that
I am.
So if anybody wants 5 sets of dishes,
yeah, handmade in Germany, you know, in the 1800s. I mean, yeah, how do you do this?
Oh, my goodness. There are probably collectors that want that.
And that is something I have to look at. But it's
1800s, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to give that kind of stuff up. But, you know, it's got energy in it, too, that probably I just need to get rid of.
Probably.
Yeah.
You'll have to decide and part with that and honor it and see where it takes you. But, yeah, if you definitely don't need or want them, then you're already in the process of giving it up. So I'm sure there's a whole lot of other things that are going with those dishes from your ancestors.
Yes. And I think that's the other, interesting part of it all is how much of our ancestors, stuff do we have, and what kind of energy is it putting out into our own lives?
Well, it's true, because everything carries energy.
And look at and antiques, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I lived in a home my whole life where my mother was an antique collector, and I have them.
Have you ever walked? Listen, I got to ask you this. Have you ever walked by antiques where they almost speak to you?
No.
Oh, do you ever get a vibration or a thought?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You confused me there for a minute.
No, I thought you were talking about the TV show.
No. An actual antique where you actually feel vibration when you walk by it, or it's almost like it speaks to you, like it has its own language, and it's like, here I am.
Oh, yeah. Really? I was at a friend's house, and we were talking about something, and she had an antique piece that was just screaming. Screaming.
It's so true. That and the ones that are most seen are the chest, the big open chests that go through generations, like kind of like the Hope chests, the old big pillar beds, posts, the washstands. It's like they have stories to tell you.
They do.
It's kind of weird, isn't it? But it's cool.
It is cool.
It's all about communication.
It is. And, you know, going back to what our purpose is, you know, our purpose really is not to collect all this stuff.
No, it's not. And the sooner we can all learn that, the quicker we can all move on and get rid of our stuff.
And I think that that's what this whole economic thing is all about. I think that it's what the whole movement into this next realm is that it's unloading all this stuff that has been really bogging us down and not allowing us to really reach into our wholesome purpose.
Yes. And it
has come to us out of greed. It has come to us out of
fear.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the moment we become austere and we begin to unload all the stuff that we don't need. I mean, all we really need is ourselves. We were talking not too long ago, and I don't remember if it was on the show or somewhere else, about, you know, how things can happen to us and, you know, how we feel about things being taken away. Mm-hmm. And I made a comment to the individual, and I said, you know, I always said that no matter what anybody does, and this can be in a relationship, this can be in a divorce, it can be in a legal battle, it can be in anything, mm-hmm. they can take anything away from you that you allow, you know, that they want. But what they can't take is you. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you have to hold dear, hold true, and, you know, recognize that they can't take everything away from you. Because they can't take you.
No, they can't take you personally. However, there are those aspects of taking away your power. It's only you that gives it away, and it's only you that can take it back.
That's true. So, you know, nothing's being taken away in all aspects. As long as you can hold yourself dear and mm-hmm. hold, you know, and know that everything that's physical around you can go away tomorrow. But you're still here, and you know, like nothing that will not go away until it's, you know, your time.
Right. Very true.
And that's really it. Was a very interesting because it was a fear of loss that we were talking about actually, mm-hmm. and the fear of losing a house, or the fear of losing a job, or the fear of losing this, you know, certain things, and mm-hmm. you know, no matter how you feel. You know, just know that one thing that nobody can take away is what's in your heart, what's in your soul.
Absolutely. We are the only, you know, we're not even true owners of our own physical being. We all come from one source. And, but that is really, truly our only ownership to any part of this being here on Earth. We all think that we, you know, can own things and, buy things and purchase things, and really in truth they're just items and things, the true
right that bring in sometimes some very negative energy actually.
Oh, absolutely. They can, because we have attachments to them. Oh my gosh, if I have this, then I can, I have a, you know, an essence about me or a title about me, or people recognize this of me. And then we become in this false belief of, like I said earlier, of holding on to these limitations and who we think we are by other people's measurements, and sometimes of our own delusional measurements of our own. And that's where it caused havoc in our life. So, you know, anyone that might be going through any fear, just replace it with love and expand on that, and you'll see the truth through it all.
We're here. The phone number is 888-815-9756. You were mentioning a little bit about names when we were talking earlier about, you know, I mean, we've got numerology and we've got names, we've got astrology, we've got healing, we've got shamanism, we've got ancestral lineage clearing. I mean, we've got so many things that are, you know, tools mm-hmm. at our disposal to help us find our true path.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all available to us. It really just depends on how we, you know, learn and understand a little bit. And you were telling me a little bit about, some of these ancient meanings of things. And I want to dig into that just a minute, too, because so much of spirituality really comes from the ancient Greeks and Romans. And, you know, these are things that I feel that we have really lost over these last thousands of years through, various reasons. But I think that we're all looking for, whether it's even our churches and synagogues and those things, to start bringing spirituality back into our lives, because, it became a separation. And all these things, these tools, all really go back to ancient times.
They do. And when you say that, it's the old saying that relates to where one or more gathers in my name. And I believe that was the reason for and behind the originality of, you know, gathering in churches and bringing people together and expanding the essence of the truth and the love and everything that comes from the main core. When you said I was touching on names, there was a little while ago I had come to some understanding and realization. And when you and I started to talk today, it kept coming up about the core essence of who we are, the blueprint and the energy of where we actually come from, dating back to some of the things that you spoke about, ancient times and Roman and Egyptian time and way back to the beginning of Source and how we evolve. You know, it's almost like we're all kind of given a name from something. And I'm not going to jump ahead too quick. Sorry, I'm thinking of our conversation. But the L's and the La's and the Eels and the Ra's and all the true tones of where we came from, of where names actually originated from and how they've evolved up to this very time and date. When I, and we've spoken about this on the show, I think when I first started coming on, that originally I was adopted, and we mentioned this in the beginning of the show, and I was actually given a birth name. Whereas my adopted parents were waiting for me and adopted me within a very short time period of about 6 weeks in total by the time they got to all the paperwork and got to take me home. And they actually gave me a brand new name. But what I had realized in the last couple of years of doing some of my own research and growth and so on and so forth, that both names, the last three letters end in E-L-A. And I always kept hearing when I went into meditation and deep into within my own sense of who I am, I kept hearing the words, it was like a Ella or an Ela, and it was a E, and it was a La, and I kept thinking, what is this? Is this my original tone? And you know, just, again, we're bringing it up because you had mentioned your mother's name. And we said, what is it, some kind of cult? Because they're so similar in the tones. But if we all look at our names, they all come from somewhere and some vibration. And, you know, it all takes us back to the original time of when all the souls came onto the earth's plane and we all separated. And that's why, you know, people will look for their twin soul as they've come down and we've all generated out. But touching on the names, people's names are absolutely fascinating. And, you know, we do have numerology, but there's such an essence in a name. And I'm sure through generations, when you're doing numerology, you'll find that a lot of names are repeated. And we share our parents' names or our grandparents' names, whether it's middle or, you know, first name. And, of course, we always share the last name. But it was interesting because my first given name is so close to my second name, which my parents picked out from a song back in the 60s. And my second given name is the same four letters of my first original given name. So, you know, there's so much hidden truth behind the names that we are given and what they can actually mean, that there's so much power behind it. And it is part of our blueprint and who we are and what we're setting ourselves up to do here. So that's my information.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned that we carry our ancestors' names. You know, in the Jewish faith, you know, the children were named for the most recently deceased individual.
Okay.
So in my name, which is Susan, and we don't always take the full names, but we take the initials. So I was named for a great-grandmother, Sarah. Okay, so my brothers all had names that came from recently departed individuals. And,
wow.
You know, I have a whole line where there were 13 children, and the grandfather was named David. So all the children of all the children ended up with the name David. So, you know, trying to sort through, you know, probably 16 David Greenabombs, you know, back in the early 1800s is quite a chore.
Wow.
And they're all born around the same time because you have the siblings that have children and the recently departed. So you may have, you know, David Greenabom's born within 3 to 4 years, and there might be 6 or 7 of them all in the same family.
Wow.
So,
that's a lot of sorting through, and that's a lot of energy to keep carrying it forward.
It really is. And, you know, and you see this throughout. I mean, one of the things that... You know, I use really in my work is names, and a lot of people, you know, were named something where they interchanged their first and middle names, and if you don't know what the middle name of an ancestor is, you may not be able to find them because they may have gone by their middle name.
Which is interesting, because sometimes when I do readings for people, I say, "Wow, are you sure that's your real name?" Because I keep picking up this name. And they'll go, "No, that's my name."
That's interesting.
Perhaps it's a vibration of another lifetime, or because not everybody knows their history. Not everyone gets to share the fact that, yes, they were adopted or not adopted or raised by another family member. Some of these things never actually come to the surface.
There are a lot of people. There is I really want to get him on the show because I really... I was really taken aback, but there's an individual, and there was a story on him on CNN, who, and I'm going to tell that story a little later because we do have a caller online.
Wow.
And we have Robert, so we're going to go ahead and take Robert since we're getting next to the, or close to the end, and we'll deal with the story a little bit later.
Sure. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Hello.
I was thinking about the... how people come together in church, and from a Palladian lecture on YouTube, they speak of people coming together and jointly intending on what they want helps it create.
Mm-hmm.
So I've studied this for quite a while, and I figured out that, you know, television has led us all to say what we don't want, which leaves the intent of our message usually a negative event. So when we come together, some people argue and say, don't want things at each other, and this process repeats.
Mm-hmm.
So as we come together, as we focus on what we want, you know, the intent of the message ghosts, your angels, if you will. And I like to teach that they cannot hear the word don't. So when you say, I don't want this to happen, you're saying, I want it to happen.
It's true. It's the laws of attraction.
And most of us have done this our whole life.
Right.
If we look into our past, we can see many examples.
Mm-hmm.
And just simply rephrasing how we speak will help the law of attraction, you know, work a little more in our favor when we understand, you know, I don't want is a negative event.
That's absolutely right. I definitely agree. We've spoken about that before, you know, writing your what I don't want in my life and then reaffirming what you do want by writing your do list. And laws of attraction only know what you do want and not what you don't. They will bring you what you don't if you continue to dwell on it and say it. It's the same as what I've referenced earlier about the need and the lack. The universe doesn't know when you say, I need this, because really, in truth, you already have it within yourself. You just need to be open to it. Does that make
Interesting.
Sense?
I like that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we did a whole show on words.
Yeah, we did. Probably about a good month ago, we spoke about, you know, your desires and how to bring them forth. And again, really, the universe doesn't understand fear. It only understands love. Working on what you don't want, it doesn't understand, because in the universe's eyes, we are all capable of so much. We just don't understand it yet. And we need to stay on the positive aspect of things. And that goes back to the don't be going around, you know, asking for the don'ts and the needs, because it doesn't understand, because we're so full of so much more than we're even capable of understanding. So stick with your do list, stick with your desire list, and stick with the love aspect of everything. And it'll come to you, and be open.
Good.
And I'm not sure I probably ought to say this, but so much of our organized religion put a fear of God in us.
It's so true.
And,
fear God.
Undo that.
Yeah.
What did you say, Robert?
I've been to, you know, plenty of churches and, you know, just seeing how they go. And, you know, I wasn't a big agreeer with, you know, Jehovah saying to fear your God. I thought he would be a loving person. Not that, you know, I disbelieve what they teach there. There's many good things. That was just one thing that, you know, made me think for a few weeks, like, why should we be afraid? That's all. You know,
it's true.
It's
the, you know,
personally,
it's the
to me, kind of odd.
Yes, it's a perception and it's an interpretation. So we all need to be mindful of that in numerous ways and just mind our words and be open.
Very, very good points, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.
You
Thanks,
too.
Robert.
Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the story that I was getting ready to tell is a man that he was adopted by his stepfather, mm-hmm. and he went on the search for his father,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out, and he has a one-man show, that his father, he grew up as in a middle-class white America, and mm-hmm. it turned out that his father was black.
Mm-hmm.
So at age 30, he realized he was a black man. And it's so very interesting, the whole concept of, you know, living your life one way and then really, you know, what does it really do? I mean, are you really any different one day to the other based on that? And I was just really moved by that whole concept. And I am going to reach out and try to get him on the show. I think it would be wonderful.
I think that'd be really cool. The other thing I constantly am thinking about is, you know, through adoption, through the sperm banks, donations, you know, we're inseminating and we're reproducing of DNA that we don't really know, you know, what the line is, where it came from, and how related you could physically be to that person.
You know, you bring that up. You know, I have an adopted brother and my mother was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
We just had all our DNA tests done, and we actually connect with three gals who have been able to isolate a father to a sperm donor.
Mm.
And it is very interesting. You know, we're trying, you know, it's very hard for us to, you know, I'm trying to connect them on our paternal line, because that we
mm-hmm.
do know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's on my maternal line. We have no clue. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have all these tests available to really find out who we are and how we can, how we can connect with other people when the paper trail ends, which, you know, at some point in time, it actually does.
Well, what about in the beginning where we don't know who we're connected to and we're creating?
What do you mean?
Well, because of the fact that we don't even adopt it, I don't know who my blood relative is.
I know, but if you did a DNA test, for
well,
example,
yeah.
and you put it into this bank,
right.
It will tell you if you connect to individuals, and then it's a matter of trying to isolate where the people lived and how you know where the chromosomal links are.
So
and
really,
it's
what you're saying is we should all be doing that before we go out and start really creating.
We you know it's part and process of the genealogy today.
Yeah,
Angela, we have lost our hour. Our hour is gone.
Thanks, Susan. Another great show. That was fun.
Another fast hour that just kind of runs by.
Oh my
Any of that, thanks again.
Thank you.
We're going to skip a week. In 2 weeks, Angela will be back next week. Deborah Silverman, hope you'll join us. This is Susan King, where Genealogy and Spirit connect. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you next Tuesday.